before we get started, maybe just have your name so we'll know who we're talking to this morning, sir.
My name is Edward Gonzalez, 043138.
Okay, you're going to have to repeat that in just a moment for the record, because the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson will serve as the lead for your hearing this morning, so just hold on, and he will be with you very shortly, so just hold on. The next question you will hear and see. Can you see us? You can see us, can't you?
Yes, I can see you.
Okay, well, the next question you hear and see will be the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson.
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
Hello?
Can you hear me, Mr. Gonzalez?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Sir, for the record, could you just please state your name and your ADC number for us again?
Edward Gonzalez, 043138.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gonzalez. So you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I am going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing today. You have the Honorable David Miller, who's to the far left. You have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's in the middle, who is our board chair. To my immediate left, you have the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. And sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel lead today, okay?
Okay.
Sir, if you're appearing before this board, you've been certified to appear before this board for an absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest. Is that also your understanding, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You are currently serving a life sentence for first-degree murder. You became parole eligible on November 12th of 2006. Is that about right?
That's correct.
Okay. You are approximately 66 years old at the time. At this time, sir?
What's that?
You're about 66 years old?
Yes, sir.
Okay. According to your institutional progress report, sir, it says that your release plan that you want to get Social Security assistance and or access, and that if you accept it, you want to be placed at Church on the Street?
Yes.
Okay, and it looks like you haven't had any discipline in the last 14 years?
That's correct.
Okay. However, so you did have a long history, a history of firing that, but your last one looks like your last arrest was actually, your last ticket was in 04. Is that right?
That's correct.
You managed to just not get in any trouble doing things. That's good.
Yes.
So you have appeared before this board approximately 27 times. During this time, the majority of your hearings were either continued, waived, or denied. Then it looks like on October 12th, you were granted home arrest. And again, on May 13th, you had it. 2013, you had it. And then January of 2014, your home arrest was revoked, because you were granted home arrest in October of 2012. You didn't get released until June of 2013, and then approximately 6 months later, you got revoked. Your parole was revoked, and you appeared several times after that. During this time, you were actually denied. Is that about right?
That is correct.
Okay. So actually, sir, it looks like when you were on parole in 2013 that you were on a monitor, and for some reason you didn't charge up your monitor, or what happened?
I left the mail, the ankle monitor battery died while I was working. I didn't pay attention to it to check the little lights are on. And I did that about two or three times. And it says that he got after me for good, and did that three times in a row.
So what were you doing when you were actually outside of your inclusion, exclusion, were you supposed to be? What were you doing when you were not in your exclusion zone with the monitor?
Oh, okay. I was working. I worked on the, around the halfway house. I was working for maintenance and dumping garbage and stuff like that.
And so why were you not doing your curfew times when you were supposed to?
What was that?
When you're out on parole, sir, you violated your exclusion zone by going other places you shouldn't be.
Oh, that happened once, yes. Because I was new to the place, nobody told me the rules at that time. And I was going to go get and grab me and go to the store to buy clothes or something like that. Clothes and food.
Okay, because it actually says that you just kind of wandered around. You went to a certain day, you went to Burger King, and you didn't have permission to deviate from those areas.
Yes. At the place where I went to Burger King, they had like a little shopping mall there. When you sold clothes and stuff, different stuff like that. That's where I was located at.
Okay. Okay, the crime that you were actually convicted of, it says you had went to the victim's home for the purpose of obtaining the victim's payroll money because he had just got paid. Says that you went there, you told the victim that you wanted to borrow his tools to fix your broken car, and while the victim was unlocking his car, you hit him with a lug wrench. Then after you hit him several times in the head, you began going through his pockets and you took approximately $280 out of his pocket. And then after you took the $280, you noticed that the victim was breathing. So you took a piece of wire and wrapped around his neck and started choking him. Is that, you know, about what happened? Because I need you to tell me in your own words, sir, what occurred and what was going through your mind at the time this incident occurred.
Well, I've been drinking that day and I don't remember most of that. I remember drinking that day, but I don't remember most of that.
So do you remember going over there and taking the victim's money, sir?
I remember doing something like that, yes.
Do you remember, do you remember putting a wire around his neck and strangling him?
I do not remember.
Huh?
I don't remember doing that part.
So what do you remember, sir? You say you remember drinking. What do you remember about that incident when it occurred?
I went to his house and beating him with that thing and taking his money. That's all I remembered.
Okay, did you leave town after that?
Yes, I did.
And why did you leave town? Where did you go?
I went to Los Angeles. And I left because I got nervous.
And so how did you wind up getting arrested, sir?
I believe I was caught walking around the town of Los Angeles.
And so do you have any family? Do you still have any family that you have any contact with, sir?
Just my young sister.
And where's your sister at?
In the town of Buckeye, Arizona.
So are you in communications with her?
Not lately. I haven't been, as you write her, about every 6 months or so.
So it's been a while since you've had any disciplinary infractions. So while you were out in 2013, can you just explain to me or explain to this board, sir, you had your freedom once and you were out and you violated and got put back in. What would change? Why should this board put you back out on the, give you the opportunity to be back out on the street?
Well, I'd like to be out there to be with my family, see my grandkids, and just retire right there, still standing here.
So when you were released from prison in June of 2013, so you're out approximately 6 months, and it appears that your PA was doing everything to work with you, but you continued to violate, which, you know, prompted your PA to violate you. So what would be a change in you were out on community supervision at this time, and you were out on a monitor? What would be the change, you know? What would be the difference?
Well, I wouldn't have no trouble if I wouldn't have parole. That's why I didn't have to wear no ankle monitor or nothing like that.
Well, you wouldn't have to, if you were released, you would be released again to home arrest, and you'd be back on an ankle monitor, and for some reason, that didn't do well with you.
I'd have to keep my eye on my monitor. That's what I have to do more than, so I would have to come back.
Well, you have to keep your eye out on the monitor, so you also have to obey and
yes.
Only go to places that you're allowed to when you have the monitor, not, you know, stop off and do different things.
Yes, and have to do all that.
So did you put in an application for church on the street, sir?
Yes, I've been sending applications and stuff like that, and I've got no response back from them yet.
So have you been working with your CO3 to find a place, or what have you done?
I've talked to my CO3, and he said, well, since you've been there, you should try to go back there. Back to the church on the street, so I tried rolling and never got no response back.
It's kind of your responsibility, sir, to try to make sure you get some response back, or that you do something to find you a place, or work with the CO3, or work with your sister that's in Buckeye. Is there a reason why there's unless I missed it, no support letters or anything in here from your sister? You said you wanted to get out and see your sister and your grandkids and your family. Is there a reason why there's no support letters in here from your family, sir?
My sister, she's got her daughter and all her grandchildren in Missouri. And with my brother, my son, I can't live with him because he's got a big family also. And they live with him, too. So I ain't really got no place to go to stay out there, except the halfway house.
So would they offer you any assistance, sir? I'm trying to just figure out it.
No.
You were out, would you have any assistance from your family?
Well, I asked them, but they can't do it. I've asked them for assistance, and they can't do it, because of their big family getting rid of them.
So do you have any funds saved up, sir, since you've been incarcerated?
No, I don't. All right, I'm waiting on that. If I got out there, I'd have to depend on my Social Security and stuff like that. If I got out, I'd have to depend on my Social Security and that money there to support myself.
Yeah, because if you were released on home arrest, sir, the Department of Corrections require you to have 2 months of a place to stay, 2 months of finances to support you for 2 months until you can get stabilized.
Yes.
So other than just trying to get your Social Security or get on access, you don't have any other support in there? You didn't put anything else in there on your release plan, sir? And you haven't been accepted to church on the street. I didn't see a letter in your file. Did you put the letter in your file when you applied to the church on the street, sir?
No, I didn't.
Okay, Mr. Gonzalez, I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you, sir.
All right.
Mr. Hill.
Yes, sir. I do have a question. In the pre-sentence report, when you were talking to the officer that was writing the report, you said you were not drinking or using drugs at the time of involvement in the incident offense. You sat there just now and said that you were real drunk, so you didn't remember it. And I see that you told the counselor while you were in Maricopa County Jail that you were under the influence of combination of marijuana and PCP. So what was it, sir? I mean, were you drunk, were you on drugs, or none of the above?
I was on both the drug and the PCP.
Okay.
I did it at night.
How often had you been using PCP before you committed this offense?
At least once or twice weekly when I was out there.
Okay. All right, thank you. No further questions.
Okay, Mr. Gonzalez, the board's about to go into discussion as we're coming up on the conclusion of your hearing. As the board's coming on the conclusion of your hearing, sir, is there anything else you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into discussion?
No, thank you. That's it.
All right, sir. The board's going to go into discussion. While the board's in discussion, Mr. Gonzalez, I need you to stay on the phone so you can hear the discussion taking place amongst the board. When we completed our discussion, we will make a decision whether to grant or deny you parole. We'll get back with you with the decision of the board, okay?
All right.
The board's now going into discussion. Mr. Gonzalez is currently in custody for first-degree murder. He has been in custody for some time. He was released in 2013. During this time when he was released, he violated his parole. It was evident from looking at the information that his parole officer was definitely trying to work with him. He was out for approximately 6 months. He was on a monitor. While he was on the monitor, he had several violations. The monitor went out a couple times. The light went out and beeped, and he didn't respond to it or charge it up. And he had several zone violations where he was outside of his zone and stopping places where he shouldn't have been, and the PO worked with him with trying to get that done, but he just couldn't get wrapped around that. Looking at his release plan, and on his release plan, he really has a very poor release plan. He actually wants to go to Church on the Street. However, there is no contact with Church on the Street. He says he's written to Church on the Street, and he hasn't got a response back, but I don't see anything in there. He does have some family here, according to him, that's in Buckeye, but there's not any response from his family. He says that his family is not able to help or assist him if he was released. He doesn't have any funds or anything out there available to him. And actually, on one of his previous forms, he actually stated that he didn't have any family or support to actually assist or help him. This was from last year on the release plan. It says during the interview, inmate stated that he currently does not have a place to go if released. And it appears that we're still in that same situation because of all the circumstances surrounding Mr. Gonzalez. I, you know, don't see him being a candidate to be released back out at this time. He did previously violate, and I think he'll continue to do those same things. So that would be my opinion. However, I am willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. And I just mentioned, and I apologize if you already mentioned it, that we do have a letter from the Maricopa County Attorney dated August 20th of 2018 requesting that or objecting to any possible release. And my other comment would just be he wouldn't even have the funding that the Department of Corrections would require.
Right.
So we really can't consider him for parole until he has the funding.
Well, Mr. Johnson, he's just not showing any initiative. I don't know why, but it's dislike or understanding on his part, but I just don't feel that he's showing any initiative at all. He wants to get out, but he's not doing anything to prove that he wants to get out.
Right. I agree. Therefore, I'm going to make a motion to deny Mr. Gonzalez absolute discharge, home arrest, or regular parole. That would be my motion. Because this incident occurred in 1991, it does not qualify for a one-year set-off.
Second.
I agree.
Okay, it's motion by myself, second by Mr. Neal. Agree, Ms. Rittenhouse. Agree, Dr. Wright. I am going to mark the reasons for denial is that it was a serious and violent offense as the victim was struck in the head and then choked with a piece of wire. There was a loss of human life. I'm going to mark it as a serious and deviant offense, and the reason that I'm going to mark that is because the victim was already incapacitated and just breathing and then choked with a wire that was put around his neck. I'm going to also mark on here lack of programming. I'm going to mark poor, no release plan, no family or community support. Those are going to be my reasons for denial unless the board sees some other things in there that may need to be included in there.
Did you check trauma to the victim?
I can mark trauma to the victim. I didn't mark any criminal history because I didn't find any, none or very little criminal history that he had in the past, so I didn't mark anything in there. I just made a note on there about okay, Mr. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Sir, the board has voted to deny you regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest at this time, sir. Did you hear the reasons for the board's denial?
No.
Okay. The reason for the board's denial, sir, was it was a serious and violent offense, loss of human life, serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, lack of programming, poor or no release plan and no family or community support system.
All right.
Yes. All right. Mr. Gonzalez, I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before the board, sir. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. If you would please put the CO3 back on the phone.
Okay.